Welcome to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. On this episode, we check in on the Avs and Jets from the visiting perspective. Jesse Montano covers the Avalanche for Guerrilla Sports. He joins us to talk about how the series is going through two games and get the visitor side of things. And then Max Murphy of the Winnipeg Goldeyes back for a fourth year with the Fish. He'll talk about his pro journey on the podcast. To the Avalanche and the Jets. Game three is tomorrow night. And for a perspective from the other side, we are joined by Jesse Montano of Guerrilla Sports, who covers the Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets in Denver. Jesse, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Hey, yeah, thanks so much. I'll tell you what, I got caught up in Florida, Tampa. I missed the start of the NFL draft. So I appreciate you getting me caught up there.
Good. Now you know. It's good to know. All right. So my first thought about having someone on from the other side is, how do Avalanche fans feel about the Jets in a general sense? Is there disdain? Is it lukewarm? Is there nothing? What is the sense of this rivalry that, you know, probably will grow over the next 3 to 5 games?
Yeah, here's what it is. When I talk to fans, I hear interaction from fans, whatever. The Jets have always been a team that just have had the Avs number, it feels like. I don't necessarily know if I want to say it's to the rivalry point, but ever since these two got in the same division, it just seems like the Jets play a brand of hockey that gives the Avs fits. No matter what, when the Avs, now that the Avs are good and, competing for cups and all that, when the Avs went through their stretch when they weren't very good and missing the playoffs, the sense among fans is, the Jets is the one team that no matter what, good or bad, it just seems like they are a bad matchup for the Avs, because they kind of play the exact opposite way the Avs like to play. So no bad blood necessarily as of yet, but Avs fans are aware. This is, when this series got set, there was a lot of like, oh man, this is going to be a tough one. The Avs have never played well against the Jets.
Especially this year, it's been rough for Colorado in three games, lost them all, mostly not close, including that 7-0 beatdown a couple weeks ago. But game one, Colorado probably should have won. Their goaltending was bad. Game two, they fall behind early, but they managed to pull it out. What's your sense of this series so far?
Man, it was tough to take much out of that game one. That was just such a bizarre game. Georgiev couldn't make a stop. I thought Hellebuck was good, but you looked up at the end of the night and there were 6 goals on the board. I thought game one was weird. I thought that was a game where the Jets got kind of caught up in playing the way that the Avs wanted to play. And then to your point, the Avs couldn't really get a save, so they couldn't come out on that one. I thought game two was a good game. I thought we saw stretches where the Jets kind of controlled play and the Avs pushed back and kind of took over. I get the sense right now the Avs are liking what they're doing. If it's up to the Avs and they can keep the series kind of trending in this direction where we're scoring goals, there's a little bit more kind of speed and pace to things. I think the Avs like that. I think despite losing game one and giving up 7 goals in the process, I think the Avs came home from Winnipeg feeling okay about the way that they played. The Jets, I've got to wonder, they're such a stingy defensive team. That's their hallmark. They want to be hard to play against, physical, keeping pucks out of the net. And, I got to wonder what's going through their head a little bit after giving up, 11 goals in 2 games. But like I said, I think if we're getting in the head of Jared Bednar, I think he likes a lot of what he saw. There's got to be some defensive details to clean up. Still just, as much as the talk is about Georgiev, there were a lot of, chances the Avs gave up, in moments. But I think the Avs like the speed and the pace, but I'm expecting Winnipeg to try to, slow things down a bit here and get back to their style of play, which has been so hard to get them out of all year.
And I think the advanced analytics would suggest that Winnipeg has generally performed a little bit better on the road this year. Colorado has been so good at home, but Winnipeg's won both their meetings in Colorado. And we know how loud these buildings can get, Jesse, but for me, home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup playoffs compared to every other major league like MLB, like the NFL, like the NBA, I feel like home ice or home court, whatever advantage in hockey is the least important of all those sports.
I agree. I mean, now I've got to say this, I've been fortunate enough to be on the Savage beat in the last handful of years. I was lucky to get to be a part of it in 2022 and go to all those buildings and Stanley Cup finals and, in Edmonton for the Western Conference finals. I got to give it to Jets fans. That just may have been the loudest building I've ever been in. I mean, consistently. That was an unbelievable atmosphere. Jared Bednar talked about it. Devon Taves talked about it. That was outstanding. But to your point, I think we've kind of gotten to the point where, sure, it's nice to get to sleep in your own bed the night before a game seven if you get there, but it just doesn't seem like home ice makes as much of a difference anymore. You know, Avs players are even telling me, like, hey, we kind of loved the crowd in Winnipeg. We were feeding off of it. We love that energy. And so I'm with you. I think there's been a weird shift in the NHL these last handful of years where the home ice just, it doesn't really matter this time of year.
And so we will see tomorrow night how that looks. From Colorado's point of view, what's the scouting report on the Jets in terms of players you need to slow down? Who are you scared of in Colorado?
You know, I think the conversation right now is around Ehlers. He had the big chance at the end of the game, and, like, that's a guy that you know can pop off. So I think that's one guy that they are very wary of. Obviously, we've seen Mark Scheifele already have an impact on this series. And the one thing, you know, that was brought up today during Jared Bednar's availability, there was a lot of talk about the depth coming in to the series for the Jets, and I think that's something the Avs are very, very aware of. And I think they are trying to make sure that they are maximizing their depth, getting good contributions. This Jets team, from my perspective, like, what's so scary about them is the Avs got bounced in the first round by the Seattle Kraken last year, and the Jets seem to me like a more talented version of that. I mean, just rock solid from top to bottom. So like I said, if you're pinpointing one guy, I know I've heard a little bit of chatter about, like, Ehlers has maybe been a little too quiet these first couple games. You know it's coming from, a player of that ilk. And then Josh Morrissey's the other one that, he's got a little bit of that Cale Makar in him, just so dangerous from the blue line, getting pucks through. You know, we see that first goal in game one. That's the ability to get a puck through, and that is not something that every defenseman has. So I think those are the two guys that like you said, if you want to use the term that you got to be a little scared of, for me, it's those two. But I do think the Avs are keying so much on this Jets team can roll four lines. We've got to be able to match that. And look, let's be honest, through the first two games, the Avs have been more than happy, thrilled with what they've gotten out of their depth. Zach Parise, Miles Wood, Ross Colton, Joel Kiviranta's been pretty good. So I think that's a big point of emphasis for the Avs. And, they feel all right after the first couple of games, but we're only two games into this series. The Jets are a handful, and I think that's their biggest focus.
The track record had not been very good recently for Alexander Georgiev going into this series. That was one of the big X factors. And after game one, it was the X factor. He had a bit of a shaky start to game two, but really settled in and had a really solid game. Justus Onanen is back in practice. He was sick, but now he's back practicing, so I take it he'll be backing up tomorrow night. How long is the leash for Georgiev right now?
I think it's ever-changing. Coming down the stretch, you're 100% right. He stumbled mightily coming down those last handful of games. On the inverse of that, Justus Onanen had a really, really strong finish to the season. So, there was a little bit of that kind of question mark. You have to wonder if Justus Onanen is healthy for game one. Does he get the nod at some point? I think that performance in game two from Georgiev earned him back a little bit of leash. The Avs really have believed in this guy. Like, they went out and got him last year because they saw someone that could fit into their system and that they believed could give them what Darcy Kuemper gave them in the playoffs the year before. Good enough. Can make one more save than the guy at the other end. Georgiev's issue this season has been consistency. The start of the season, first, say 10 to 13 games, he was the team's MVP. They got off to a slow start, and he really helped keep them afloat. Coming out of the All-Star game, there's a lot of conversation. I don't know if he should have been at the All-Star game. He was leading the league in wins, whatever. Coming out of the All-Star game, he's thrown together again 9-10 games that were really, really strong. And then he's just kind of struggled to refine that. So I think that game two showed, okay, he can handle the pressure of the playoffs. He can go into a hostile building, a difficult environment, and he can get his head right. The issue now with Georgiev is going to be the consistency. Like I said, I think he got a little bit of leash back where that, if he gives up two goals in the first, you're not immediately looking down the bench. But it's on him to build on it now. You're not going to be perfect every game. I'm not saying he's got to go pitch a shutout every night, but he's in a series right now with the guy who's going to win the Vezina. And you got to find a way to match that, match that or be better at least three more times. So, you know, it's still an uphill climb for him. I think that game two win was a big boost of confidence for him and the team. Look, you know, I think the team was starting to feel the frustration a bit that, hey, every time, seems like every time we make any kind of mistake in the back of our net, he comes up with two big, big saves in game two to help his team, you know, get the lead and then keep the lead. So I think he got a little bit of leash back, but that doesn't change the fact that he struggled down the stretch and that he had a really bad game one. One solid game two doesn't fix that. It's on him to keep building on it. I think if he strings together too many, you know, bad periods, bad games, like I said, Yusuf on it and gave them a lot to think about coming down the stretch.
This might be unfair to ask because, I mean, what do we actually know? It's hockey. It's random as heck. But how do you see this series playing out?
We talked about this. I was talking about this today with someone. Like I said, I and maybe you would disagree with this, but I felt like the Avs were able to pull the Jets out of their structure a bit in these first couple games. I think, and maybe it was a product of the fact that the Avs hadn't played well against the Jets this year. So I think those first two games were the first time that the Avs kind of gave the Jets their best shot. So I think these next two games in Denver are pivotal. Like you said, the Avs have been really good on home ice. If the Avs can continue that forecheck that we've seen them get going these first couple games and continue to you know, reload in the neutral zone and attack with speed and can get the Jets to play with pace, I think Winnipeg might be in a little bit of trouble here. Just what we've seen to the first couple games with the goals that are being scored, just very not the way that Winnipeg likes to play. If the Jets can get the Avs to slow things down and not get that, you know, that quick transition game and playing off the rush, I'm expecting this series to go six or seven. And I think if the Jets can do that, like, they've got a good shot here. I think this is a really good matchup. And so I really do. I think it all depends on who can kind of impose their style of play right now for me. And gosh, I hope you have a bunch of listeners just rolling your eyes and, oh, this guy's a homer. But like, I think the Avs have momentum coming out of Winnipeg. I think the Avs feel really good about the fact their offense is clicking. And I think they're going to try to get up and go tomorrow. So right now my sense is the Avs have a little bit of momentum coming back to a building they like to play in. They got the split on the road. It feels like things are trending Avs, but like you said, we saw three times this year the Jets kind of dominated the Avs by playing the way that the Jets want to play. So it's going to take them, you know, the Jets stealing a game on the road, but this is, I think, when I look through these series, you know, in the first round, there's a lot of toss-ups, and I think this is as 50-50 as it gets. Obviously, this is kind of a silly thing, it goes without saying. These next two games are going to be huge. You know, if we're going back to Winnipeg 2-2, you know, all bets are off, but I think the Avs are feeling pretty good coming home.
People I've talked to are feeling the same way here in Winnipeg, that the Avs were slightly better, and I think they have the slight edge right now, but ultimately there's not a whole lot in between the two. Jesse, we'll leave it on that. No, appreciate your time and have fun at the games tomorrow.
Hey, yeah, thanks so much. Last thing I was going to say was the Jets have the ultimate secret weapon in Hellebuck. If he decides that he's slamming the door, that's kind of it for this series. But hey, I appreciate it so much. Anytime you guys need, and yeah, hopefully another fun one here in Denver tomorrow.
All right, this is Jesse Montano of Gorilla Sports. I said have fun at the games tomorrow. I meant, like, have fun at the next two games, and then I said tomorrow. The greeting got fluffed, and I'm sorry. Let's talk baseball. The Winnipeg Goldeyes season is not far away. May 9th is opening day for the Fish. They'll be in Cleburne against the Railroaders. Spring training starts May 1st. That's Wednesday. Today, the team ensured one of its best players would be back for 2024, signing outfielder Max Murphy. The 2022 Player of the Year in the American Association tied for second in the league last year with 26 homers and was among the league leaders in a lot of other stats. Drove in 84 runs, batted .289 in 99 games, missed just one contest despite coming back from a nasty broken leg sustained in the 2022 playoffs. The 31-year-old from Minnesota caught up with me earlier this afternoon, and I started by asking him why he wanted to come back for a fourth season with the Fish.
Well, I just really love playing for the Goldeyes. It's a lot of fun for me. It's place I've been for a while now, so I kind of have a lay of the league and everything that's going on, and I just like the setup I have there in Winnipeg, and it makes baseball a lot of fun for me.
The fact that it's not too far from your home state of Minnesota, does that add to the appeal of it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My parents are usually, almost every weekend that we're at home, they drive on up. They're able to watch some baseball. And also when we go to, like, Fargo or the close places, it's nice that they can come out and watch me play still.
Yeah, now that there's no team in Minnesota anymore because the Saints left the league, a team you played for, this is a great opportunity for them to come up. I have to ask, when they come, do they feed you or do you have to cook for them?
No, they usually just eat at the restaurants, and I'm always cooking for myself, so I got plenty of food up there.
But you don't get any home cooking when they come?
Nope. Just when I come home after the season.
Okay. I guess when you're in the midst of the season, you got to kind of watch what you eat, right?
Yeah. It's tough with the schedule and stuff, times that I'm eating and what I have and everything like that.
Is it boring as to eat during the season and then you get to have the fun in the off season?
No, actually, I usually do the opposite. I usually eat a lot more consciously in the off season, just because I'm not playing every day and burning a ton of calories.
Okay, so what's your go-to vice meal then? What's your favorite junk food?
Oh, pizza for sure.
It's quick, it's easy, it's delicious. I mean, you could eat it on the bus, you can eat it anywhere, really. I'm with you on that one. Do you have a favorite spot?
Pretty much wherever. I like to kind of rotate around and try a bunch of different places, and then go back to just some of the old spots, depending on how much I like them. But yeah, I like to try as many different places as I can.
All right, to baseball. The important questions are done now that we're done talking about pizza. where do you feel your game is at now, heading into your fourth season here in Winnipeg? And you've been, you know, in the American Association for a while now. How do you feel you're set up going into this year?
I feel really good right now. Obviously, last year I had a good year last year, but I had a lot of problems dealing with my leg from the injury the year before, and that is completely gone now. So excited to just have a normal season where I'm not worried about a nagging thing, taking care of that.
You still managed to pretty much play the whole season though last year.
Yep, just one game off. That was it.
But it was just, you played every game, but you didn't quite feel like your full self then?
Oh, yeah, I could. My running was pretty bad. There's especially those nice 11 o'clock early day games. I couldn't really get it going too much there in the outfield or running the bases.
Well, you had no triples. You had four in each of the last two seasons before that. So I guess that's something we could look for this year, some triples from you?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Last year I was not going to be fast enough to make it to three unless something weird happened in the outfield.
Okay. In terms of your hitting, your batting average was a little bit lower. It was below 300. Is that 300 mark very important to you?
Not super important. I like to be around it, but not too important to be there, just close, just a lot of mostly just RBIs and extra base hits are what I'm going for, and the average usually kind of takes care of itself.
All right, so this off season you spent time playing in Mexico, yes?
Yep.
Is that different for you? Is that something you normally do?
No, that was the first time that I'd done that. I was supposed to do it two winters ago, but then I got injured. So that was the first time last year.
And why did you decide to do that?
Just a new experience, and they pay really well down there. So it's a nice little bonus.
And you get to spend your winter not in Canada or not in the northern U.S., right? You get to be warm in Mexico.
Yep, yeah. A few extra warm months down there.
Do you think that experience playing there helped get you ready for this season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's usually close to an eight-month off season. So, you know, sometimes at the beginning of the season, it's a little slow to get it going after that much time off from baseball. But this year, it's been like, it feels like almost no time off at all.
When did that season end?
That season, I left December 23rd. And then I was down there for the beginning of the season for their summer league the last month and a half. So I've been playing almost the entire off season.
And now you just get a little bit of a break before the start of the Gold Eye season?
Yep, I get just a little bit of a week here, and then I'm headed on back up there on Sunday.
Not worried about tuckering yourself out playing too much baseball? Is it possible to play too much baseball?
Yeah, it definitely is. But no, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm right where I need to be.
So you've been in Winnipeg now for now four seasons. This will be your third different manager. What have your talks been with Logan Watkins so far since he came on?
They've been really good. Seems like he's going to be a great guy to play for. He's brought in a lot of really good players. The team looks really, really good right now, especially for the league. I think the league is going to be a little bit down, at least to start, just because of the new rules in Mexico. There's so many of the best players that have been in this league the past few years. Those guys have now left. A lot of them have. So I think it's going to be really good this year.
So for those who don't know, what are these new rules that have, in your eyes, kind of changed the landscape of the American Association here to start?
Well, really what it is, in Mexico, they usually allow 7 imports per team, which is a non-Mexican player. And this year they're allowing 20 per team, which is quite the bump up. So, and then they added 2 new teams to the league. So a ton of the, you know, a lot of the best pitchers and hitters from the American Association have all gotten signed and gone down there.
And I take it there's more money down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot more money down there.
Okay, good to know. So look for the Gold Eyes to maybe get off to a good start this year?
Yeah, I think it should be a good start.
All right, Max.
I think the whole season should be good.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. We're hoping for that down at the ballpark this year. Appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Thanks for this, and best of luck as you get ready for the season.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Max Murphy of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. Again, their season begins May 9th.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again.
Come on and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you of the deal. You may not share our intellect.